Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everyone here, Lord, that has come to gather around your word, Lord. We thank you for the fellowship that we can have, Lord, together. And we just pray that you would bless this day, bless this time that we have as we look into your scriptures, Lord. Pray that you would reveal yourself from them, that we would understand you better, understand what you desire of us, Lord, and what we should be seeking of when we follow after you. Lord, we just pray that you would bless this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And we see in this passage, it begins with John. And John, the Baptist, has been fulfilling his ministry, that he was the forerunner of Christ. He was, we understand that he was a great prophet, up to the time of when Jesus was on the scene, there arose not a prophet like unto John the Baptist. But yet he recognized that he was just a forerunner. He was the one that was to point people to Christ. It says in 1 John 1, verse 6, it's across the page, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And he was a man that was a great preacher of the word. He spoke and brought great conviction by his words. And he had many people that followed him, many disciples that he spent time with and trained and taught about the ways of the Lord. But we see that when Jesus came on the scene, that John stepped into the background. And as soon as he saw him, that he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That he wanted people to see that. And we see in earlier in this passage how people said, "Well, who are you?" And he says, "Well, I'm not the Christ. I'm just the one that's coming before him. When he comes, you need to follow him." And that's exactly what happened. That he had here two disciples that were faithful to him, that were following him. And he saw Jesus walking by, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard that him speak, and they followed Jesus. That's what he had really trained them to do. That he says, don't concern yourself with me. Don't hold to this bond with me. When he comes, you need to follow him and not me. And we actually see in John chapter 3 of how different people came to him and said, "Well, you used to have all these disciples, and now you don't have any. What's going on?" And now Jesus has all these disciples, and don't you feel bad about that? And he said, "No, I don't feel bad about that at all." That he was glad of that. That he said that he must increase and I must decrease. And so he was faithful in that. And he rightly declared Jesus Christ to be the Lamb of God, the one who would take away the sin of the world, the one who would be a sacrifice for us, a lamb without blemish, without spot. That we think of the Passover, of how so that the firstborn would be saved, that the lamb had to be slain, the blood had to be shed, and it had to be applied upon the lintel and the doorpost for people to be preserved. And it's the same, that he is our Passover, that as people we understand that he died, that his blood was shed, and that as we apply that blood to our hearts by faith that we are saved and that we pass from death into life. And you can think of it with these two disciples. We read later down that one of them was Andrew. We don't know who the other one was. And we always wonder because John in his gospel, he never refers to himself by name. So whether this other disciple was him, we don't know that for sure. That's just conjecture. But they see this one that they don't... The only thing really they know about him is what John has told them. But they know that this is the Messiah. This is the one that is to come. This is the Christ. And so they begin to follow him. And you could kind of think that they're awkward. This is someone that they don't know. They're wondering what to say, what to do. And I kind of wonder with the Lord whether he kind of had fun with them for a while, if he's tried to lose them for a bit, or whether he probably wouldn't have done that. He's not seeming to be that kind of a savior. But it is the thought that as they're following him, they're not sure exactly what to do. But then all of a sudden Jesus turns around and sees them following, and he asks them this question, "What seek ye?" And you can imagine with them that just how it really would have kind of put them on the spot, that, you know, well, what does he want? How are we going to answer this? And what they're trying to get out. And it's something that we want to understand, that the Lord didn't want them to stop seeking him. They weren't a nuisance to him in any way. He wasn't say, "Well, what do you want?" It wasn't like that. He just asked, "Well, what are you seeking?" And that's the thing with us, that as we seek after the Lord, as we seek to draw close to him, that he asks us that same question: what do we seek? It's not that he doesn't want us to continue to follow him, not continue to get close to him, but he wants us to evaluate, to understand why that we would seek him, what our purpose is in seeking the Lord. We understand in the sense of our salvation that the Lord in many ways seeks us, that by our nature we don't generally seek after God, but yet he loved us, and that we understand how the Holy Spirit works and how he sends different people into our lives that have shared the gospel with us, and that we come to him for salvation. But it is some we understand that that these ones, these disciples of John, that they were following what John had said, that they were trusting in this one who was to come, and this faith that they had, even though they didn't know who he was, once he arrived on the scene, that they placed their faith in him. That it was something that they were seeking after him. They knew that he had what they needed. They knew he was the one that they are to seek, this one that the prophets had foretold, this one that was like no other man on this earth. They wanted to meet him. They wanted to see him. And so he asked them, "Well, what seek ye?" And we see in the scriptures, and especially in the gospels, that there were many that sought the Lord, but we understand that there were many that they were seeking him, but it wasn't necessarily for the proper reasons. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 1, and we see Mark chapter 1, he was preaching, he was healing many people, he was casting out devils. We see verse 35, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed in a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee." And that was the thought, that so many were seeking him, that they saw the miracles that happened and they wanted to be a part of what was going on, that this was a new thing. We see this also in John chapter 6. If you turn there with me, that we understand that he'd been preaching on one side of the Galilee, and he was on the other side, and many people followed him and wanted to be with him. And of course, he had walked on the water. They wanted to find out how he got over on that side when he hadn't left in any boat. And so they came to him, And Jesus said in John 6:26, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And he was trying to get these people to see that it was good that they were seeking after them. We have the understanding that the Lord says, He that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. But he wanted to make sure that they were doing it for the right reason. And he started to preach to them. It was hard preaching. And some of them said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? But he continued to preach to them. He continued to show them the truth of who he was and what that they were required upon. And it says in verse 66 of John 6, From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we think of that some sought the Lord Jesus just to be kind of for the amazement of it all, kind of be part of history. They understood, well, this guy is the Messiah. We want to be there. Almost the thought, well, I want to get his autograph or be able to tell stories to my kid of what I saw when Jesus came through town. And some sought him because they had problems that were in need of fixing. They had disease. They were infirm. Some had different disputes they hoped the Lord would help them with. And the Lord was glad to meet their needs, that anyone came to Him, that He would heal them. And it was not something that he ever wanted to turn them aside, that he wanted to help them. And it's sad so often that after the problems were fixed that many stopped following Him. We think of the 10 lepers, that they were cleansed, but only one came back to thank Him, to follow Him. But yet he continued to minister to them. And we even think of Judas, how he sought after Christ. I think when we kind of try to understand his thinking, that he thought, well, this is the Christ, he's going to set up his kingdom, and I want to be part of that. I want to be in his good books so that I'll get some plum position. But of course, when he found out that he was going to die, then that's when he sought to betray him. And so it is something we see that in the Scriptures, that some sought him, but it wasn't for the right reasons. And we see the difference with when difficult times came, struggles came, that these that sought him for the wrong reasons, that they didn't stay. But then we see with the disciples, including these two that were here, that they sought him for the right reasons, and that they stayed with him, they abode with him, and they knew who he was, and they stuck with him. And that's something that we want to understand, that this question that the Lord asked them, it was to cause them to evaluate, to question, to make them think. And that's what the Lord wants us to do sometimes. He wants us to think, to just kind of get back to why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I following the Lord? What is it for? And we think of that in different places, that he questioned the people in Matthew 11. He asked, well, what did you, when you went out to see John the Baptist, why did you go out to see him? What did you go to see? And did you just see him because he was odd, or because he was a good preacher, and he wanted them to understand who he was? And we also think of that in Isaiah chapter 58, that the Lord speaks to the children of Israel that they were seeking him. They were fasting to draw near to him, but he asked them, well, why are you fasting for? He said, well, you're fasting so that for strife and debate, you're fasting so that kind of there's, you're having arguments with different people, and you're trying to fast so that the Lord can help you win the argument so that you can do better. And he was trying to get them to challenge their thinking, to say, well, what you need to be doing this for the right reason. And that's the thought, that he doesn't want us to stop seeking him. He doesn't ever want us to turn aside, but he wants us to make sure that we're seeking him for the right reasons. And we think when we seek the Lord, just as with these two disciples, that they're kind of caught flat-footed. They're, okay, what do we say? What are we actually seeking in him? And we think of that. What do we seek in the Lord? Sometimes we seek the Lord because we need a friend, and we realize that He is a friend, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We seek Him because He's our Savior, that we're in desperate straits, we need His help, and we realize He is able to save us to the uttermost that cometh to God by Him. Sometimes we know that we seek wisdom, we know that He has the answer to our problem, we know that He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Sometimes we need healing from the hurts of life, and we realize He is the great physician, that He can help us through trouble. Sometimes we realize we're in trouble and we just need help getting out of the mess we're in, and we seek Him for that, and he helps us out of that He's able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. And we realize with the Lord Jesus, for all these things, as we seek Him, that He will be all these things and more to us, that He will be a help to us, He will minister to us. But we want to realize if we seek Him just for these things, then we're going to miss out on the blessings that we could have with Him. That we understand that if we seek Him just for Himself, for who He is, that we want to be with Him, that's what makes the difference, that all these other things we'll get. And sometimes what it is, sometimes we seek after one thing or another in our prayer and life, and we go to Him and He gives us these things, but we want to understand that He wants us. He wants to share Himself with us. He wants to have a relationship with us and to have that closeness, that it isn't just for the every time we think what we have a need, that we come to Him, but we realize that we need Him every hour, and that we come and we abide with Him. And so we see with these two disciples that even though they were caught flat-footed, that they gave the answer that was correct. They said unto Him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest Thou? That's what they wanted to know, that they wanted to know where He was because they wanted to be with Him, that they wanted to spend time with Him, that they knew that all that He had to offer them couldn't be met in just a moment or even just a couple minutes. But they needed to spend that time with Him. They needed to get to know who He was, what made Him so different, why He came, what He was to accomplish, what He expected of them. And that's the thought that we want to look at that in the same way, that when we seek the Lord, that we want to know where He dwells, that we want to dwell with Him, that we want to abide with Him, that we are close to Him, we have that relationship with Him. And that's what the Lord desires. We see that through the Scriptures, that how Abraham had that relationship with the Lord. And he was called the friend of God. And we see that he was praying that the Lord would send him a son. God promised him a son. And he was so happy for that. But then the Lord decided he needed to test him. He wanted to see, well, did he just seek after me for all these years because I was the only one that could give him a son? And if now that he has a son, is he still going to love me the same way that he did before? Is he still going to be my friend, or was it just to get something? And so the Lord tested him. He said, well, take your son whom you love and offer him to me for a sacrifice. And we see that Abraham did that, that he rose up in the morning, he didn't procrastinate, he went up there, that he brought his son up, he tied him down to the altar, and he was just about to slay him. And the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, well, you've proven to me that you wouldn't withhold your only son from me, that you didn't just follow me because of what I could give you. You followed me because you were my friend. And that's the thought that we want to have, just as with these disciples, that they weren't seeking Jesus just for what he could give them, even though he could give them so much. They were seeking him alone, that they wanted to know him. They wanted to become close to him. We think of Paul, how he said, how that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That he wants to share himself with us. And you think of that with Jesus, that as they gave him this answer, how he must have smiled, and he said, "Come and see." And they followed him, and he abode with them. And it's just that thought sometimes where we say, "Well, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to follow you. I want to be close to you." That he says to us, "Come and see." That if we look back on our life and see how he's guided us through the years, it's amazing what we have seen, and we're so glad that we did come to him. And it is that thought that he wants to have that closeness with us. He wants to abide with us, because he knows that as we abide with him, that we will be forever changed. We see in John chapter 15, the Lord speaks of this, John chapter 15, "Abide in me." This is John 15 verse 4. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." That he wants us to abide in him, that sometimes we get so busy with life, we're cumbered about with many things, and there are times that he wants us just to sit at his feet, to spend time with him, to fellowship with him, to draw close to him, not because there's anything specifically that we need of him to solve, but just that we want to learn from him. And sometimes when we go through difficult times, we can kind of go to the Lord, and I've done it myself, where it's like, "Well, I need an answer to this question. And I need this solved. I need this figured out for me." But then sometimes we realize that we just need to spend time in prayer. Sometimes spend an evening where we're just with the Lord. And sometimes we get to the end and we still don't have it all figured out, but the Lord gives us this peace that he's going to take care of it. That it's looked after. And that's, I think, so often that we miss, that we get as much from the Lord as we spend with him. That if we come just for a moment, just for a specific need, that he will grant that. He delights to minister to us. But there's such a fullness that we can miss out if we don't spend that time with him that he desires. And we think of that with these men, that they dwelt with the Lord and that they were forever changed as a result. We think in the next verses how that Andrew, that he met Jesus, and the day after that he goes and he finds his brother Simon, surnamed Peter, and he says, "We found him, we found the Messiah, we found the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. And just that thought that it's really as we seek to be witnesses for him, that we seek to bring others to him, that really when we spend time with him, that it makes it so much easier. That sometimes we're thinking, "Well, what words do I say? How do I bring it up in the conversation?" But when we spend time with him, when we have the joy that only he gives, that it's overflowing, that we say, "Well, just come and see him, just come and meet him. He's changed my life." And people see that, and they want to know about it. It brings curiosity to them. What's happened to them? Why is this Jesus so important to them? And so that is what we need to think about in our own lives, that as we seek to follow Jesus, and no matter what reason we came to him or continue to come to him, that even if we're not coming to him for the right reasons, that as he challenges us, as he causes us to evaluate, that we learn to do it for the right reasons. And we realize, just as with these disciples, that they wanted to know where he dwelled. They wanted to be with him. And he says to us, "Come and see." And may the Lord help us, that we would come to him, that we were seeking him alone, that we want to just have him minister to us. Just drink in his goodness. As it says in the Psalms, "Come taste and see that the Lord is good." That we just have a chance to get to know who Jesus is. That we can spend time in his word and just gain a greater appreciation of all that He has done for us. Just of thinking of how much He gave up for us, how much that He left behind in the glories of heaven, and how much He suffered for us. That we dwell upon Him, we dwell with Him, and that we just have a desire, as it speaks in the Psalms, of as the heart panteth for the water, so my soul thirsteth for Thee, O God. That we have that desire, that we want to be with Him, that we want to follow Him wherever He leads us, and just that we can be as close to Him as we can, that we're not trying to follow from a distance, but that we're right behind Him, that we're along with Him, that we can commune with Him and He with us, and that He can help us through the troubles of each day, and that we can be used of Him to be witnesses for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your many blessings to us, Lord. We thank You for all that You are, Lord, in the fullness of Yourself, so much beyond what we have even contemplated, Lord, or we've even grasped sometimes, Lord, that we've seen You in little ways, but we haven't fully understood how great You are and how much You are to us, Lord. We just pray You would help us, that we would seek after You, that it wouldn't, even though we know we have needs, that we can go to You and trust that You look after all of those things, but that what You want more than anything is that we would come to You and we would lay them at these problems at Your feet, and that we would just spend time with You and allow You to deal with them, and that we can just grow in the knowledge of You, Lord, and that we might be changed and be witnesses for You as a result. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand, and we'll turn to hymn number 174 and sing "My Jesus, I Love Thee," hymn 174.